You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you.
How would you describe what's happening on the markets right now, and why are they behaving the way they are right now?
It's Trump mania. I mean, that's really pretty much the market. You know, he's moving the markets up and down based on some short-term comments. Very interesting times. If you're an aggressive trader, and you know something negative said or happens and it sells off, it seems like if you jump in, the story will be reversed within a few hours, and you can make money. I mean, it's just really wild, this whole Greenland situation, which you and I talked about off air quite a bit. You know, it's created just a lot of volatility, and you know, we did a little research here, and there's a lot of history with the U.S. and involvement with Denmark and with Greenland in the past 100 years in one form or another. So it's really not a new subject. So I'm sure they're going to work something out to everybody's benefit. Ultimately, it comes down to two key areas, you know, national security and making money. And there's a lot of minerals and stuff there. And from what I heard, you know, we have created a lot of infrastructure over there in years past on a military basis. So, it makes sense. You know, you can control more of the land around your country and protect yourself. It makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure something will happen here. If Trump doesn't get what he wants in a nice way, I'm sure it'll get more aggressive again. But, you know, he's very sensitive about the markets. You know, when the market had that 900-point sell-off, when he said there might be, you know, tariffs and all this stuff, then, you know, he changed his mind quickly. I think he's, you know, thinking about the midterm elections and investor sentiment. And there's so many variables here. So it's really a Trump mania-type market environment. I mean, so many of the moves that we've seen in stocks, you know, banking stocks came down as soon as he mentions that credit card interest can't be above 10%. And then what was in the news today or yesterday, he sued Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan over some financial relationship he had with J.P. Morgan and the bank in previous years. It's just an exciting time if you're in there and you're trading and trying to catch some moves. Now, you know, what's the overall market like? Well, you know, I still think it's a bit high, but you know, we're in this cyclical time frame that I'm always nervous about. You know, this first quarter of the year, where sometimes and not all the times, we're in between the February and March period, you can get sharp sell-offs in the market. Doesn't always happen, but we've seen some instances of that without getting into the specifics of the cycle, but I always refer to that vernal equinox on March 22nd, where in some years there's big market lows around that time frame, not always, but it's sort of a time frame, you know, to watch for some volatility. At the same time, gold and silver are strong. Gold's into new highs, just about $70 or $80 away from kissing $5,000 in U.S. dollars. Silver is up there around the $96 level. And platinum and palladium doing well, and copper is doing well, and antimony is moving with some company that's in the antimony business. It's asset-based metals type environment right now, and you can argue about what the reason is. You know, we had talked about inflation-ish risks with the Japanese interest rate going up in previous interviews, and it's become more of a common discussion point now, but, you know, the impact of higher rates in Japan, you know, it's not, they backed off a little bit, but the fact that they moved up on the 10-year yield, and the fact that that could, you know, filter into the world interest rate scenario and preclude the Fed from lowering rates if inflation, you know, is starts to heat up again. You know, all this stuff here could affect the markets, and you know, maybe could be the background to some type of needed, you know, correction. I mean, I'm looking at the charts. I mean, the S&P 500 is right up at a huge resistance level here on the charts around the 7,000 level, and you know, you could argue it could have ultimately get to another target I had, which there was no specific time frame, around 7,400, but I could also see a drop down to 6,100, which is a huge, huge decline, which would be one of your 15-20% market correction type events, and that could also happen. So, you know, if you're going to position yourself on a spread and try to cover both ends of the volatility, you would, you know, put one on that would protect you on a rally up to 7,400 or a decline down to 6,100 in the S&P, just to give you a broad range of where the volatility could be here in coming months. But, you know, there's, you know, we talked about, you know, potential black swan events, and then suddenly, you know, the story came out with Greenland, and we had the big sell-off a couple of days ago, and we got the midterm elections. And we're still sort of waiting on what the U.S. Supreme Court is going to say about the tariffs. It seems like everybody's holding their breath day to day. Is it going to be positive, negative, neutral? What's going to happen there? You know, all I can say is fasten your seatbelts.
Well, when you're looking at a situation like this, you must be dancing something furiously at your trading board.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is. If you can pick the right stock and try to trade it, you know, there was a couple that, you know, are moving today. One in particular was moving up. I don't want to mention names. It's in my newsletter. That's tied to Greenland because of the metals and resources there. There's one company in particular that it was up like 20% today. I don't know the exact details, but it's somehow tied to resources in Greenland. And, of course, you have the metals, you know, moving individual companies that are in the gold and silver business, which benefit from the increased price of the metal. They're moving. And, but you get, you know, just the, you know, crazy volatility, like Intel, which is a big, you know, chip company. We all know the name for many, many decades. Well, you know, the U.S. government partnered with Intel. And the stock took off. It was in the 20s, and it got over $50. And now, today, after the market closes, apparently the earnings report wasn't so good, and the stock's down, you know, about 10% after the market closed today. So that was a trading vehicle for those because of the U.S. government connection with Intel, you know. So there's so much of this stuff going on. And to answer your question, yes, it's a trader's market. I think. I mean, you could argue if you're an investor and you just hold the S&P 500 or the major indexes for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, you've done great. But you also had to suffer some, you know, wild swings along the way, like the big sell-off we had last April when on that Liberation Day announcement with Donald Trump about tariffs, and the market collapsed there for a few days. If you can, you know, tolerate and ignore that, then I guess you're okay just sticking with the trend. But in the meantime, mortals like me, you know, are more interested in the swings and trying to participate. But I do have to give credit to those who stuck with stuff. You know, like if you had bought silver in the last 20 years or 25 years and just held it, hoping that one day it would finally break above $50 an ounce, which it finally did, and look at it now approaching $100, and you did nothing else, and you never traded, and you didn't have to live off the money in the meantime, you're a happy camper, you know. So it depends what your level of patience is, and, you know, I don't have a lot of patience. You know, I don't sit and hold stuff for 20, 25 years hoping that it's going to make me money, because for me, the market was, you know, more of a means of making a living and benefiting from short-term moves, and that comes partly, and I was spoiled a little bit when years ago I was a trader for a short period of time on the Chicago Board Options Exchange, and all the guys around me were short-term traders. and literally closed all positions out if they could at the end of every day. Hopefully they made money, take their check, and start fresh every new trading day. So the guys around me, when I first got into the business, were looking at it as a way of making a living day-to-day in the markets, and I think a lot of most big traders still feel that way versus the long-term viewpoint, which is not as much fun, you know, if you enjoy market movements, and you just said referred to volatility, Jim, so that's part of it. So anyway, bottom line is, for me, individual trading opportunities as they come up, whether it's Greenland or some other story, short term, and we're in this time frame in this first quarter of the year where I'm a little apprehensive, and we'll just see how that pans out.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, is anything going on with Bitcoin we should be concerned about?
Well, it's not necessarily a concern. Depends what your time frame is. Bitcoin itself is now trading, you know, in this broad range of 80 to 100,000. It reached up towards the 97,000, 98,000. Now it's been backed off back to 90, 89, 90,000. And the overall chart pattern, at least short term, is bearish because of the way it broke down from 126,000 to 80. And now it bounced and it's in this what they call bear flag formation on the charts. So if it could take out 100,000 and stay there for a few days, it might start to break out and start move again and get all the bulls excited about it going back to the highs. But if it doesn't do that, you're just trading again in this broad 80 to 100,000 range. And if it takes out the lower end, we could see, you know, who knows, 50, 60,000 or some really low 70,000. We have to watch the charts. So there was some technical damage done to the chart short term. But it also presented one heck of a buying opportunity. You know, we always look for the fire sales. And when Bitcoin dropped from 126 to 80 in a matter of days, I mean, actually, it was after a couple, 3 weeks. I mean, this sort of part and parcel to the history of Bitcoin. You know, when you get these huge washouts, is it time to jump in? And sure enough, this was another one of those opportunities. So I don't know. I have to give the upside overall the benefit of the doubt, though this may be a rough year. It may not go anywhere this year or not. We're just going to have to watch the charts. But he's got the U.S. government behind it, Donald Trump behind it, the Bitcoin Reserve. There's a lot of legislation in Congress. They're still working on this Clarity Act, which still has to be passed. And it just seems like so long as the current administration is involved in an interest in crypto, it's also crypto, not just Bitcoin itself, you got to take a more of a longer-term bullish viewpoint here that there's a big change coming to the way we're going to transact business and the importance of crypto and Bitcoin in our lives. You know, if everything changes politically in a big way, then, of course, that could change. But that's sort of so I would say, you know, I've said this before, if you can take anywhere from a 2 to 4 year perspective on this and look at the people who held gold and silver for all these years and they finally made money, you know, I mean, you almost have to be patient with it if you believe that there's really a sea change going on here with the government's involvement and the use of, you know, crypto for all kinds of, you know, transactional purposes. So right now, the chart, we just keep talking Bitcoin, but there's so many other cryptocurrencies out there, and you've got the stable coins now that the government has legalized, and companies like Walmart and others are implementing those and so forth. So, and those are, when they say stable, they're tied to a fixed value, so you don't lose money with those. They're just used as a medium of exchange. So that's a whole other aspect to the you know, crypto world that has been created. So I'm giving you a long-winded response here. I'm bullish overall on the trend, and we try to trade it in between. And I like to give the upside the benefit of the doubt on washouts.
What's going on with uranium?
Uranium's doing terrific. CCJ, your big name in the industry, the biggest uranium provider, to new all-time highs here in the last couple days. The uranium charts, the ETFs for uranium are strong. And uranium itself is high. Big demand for nuclear. So, bullish.
AI is the driver, I guess, behind copper. Also, the move, not in the U.S. and Canada, but elsewhere in the world, to EVs. They use nearly 300% more copper than a regular car does. Plus, you have to have more power generating facilities. Again, you got to wrap those big generators with copper wire.
Right, and lithium has also been strong, too. So, yes, copper's been strong. Copper stocks, some of the companies like Freeport, which are really part gold companies and gold and copper companies, also have benefited. But we have to keep in mind the time frame for the construction of these nuclear facilities, and if not nuclear, even for the EVs that you just referred to. So it depends what your time frame is. A lot of this is being driven by big investment by the big players, including the government, too. So it's sort of a forced bull market. You know, billions and billions are being put into, the revamping of our energy system, so to speak. You know, nuclear wasn't even something you could talk about. For many, many years, it was the boogeyman. You know, I don't want to be anywhere near a nuclear plant. Don't talk to them and bring up the subject. I don't want to be fried and get irradiated, you know what I mean? It was like, forget it. And the demonstrations against it ever since, the Three Mile Island incident and the Russian incident, it's just been negative. And even though we knew that was the future and the military was still using nuclear and its ships and so forth, we couldn't even talk about it. So the AI craze changed everything. I guess it just greed, deciding that all AI is a new answer to our civilization and the fact we need all this energy to power the data centers. And then Microsoft made that big decision to get Three Mile Island back up and running again because they decided they needed and wanted more energy for the AI-driven, operations. So that changed the sentiment. But the point I'm making, Jim, is just there's so much billions are being thrown at it. It's like a forced bull market. You know, suddenly something was hated, suddenly is loved, and it's driving up uranium and the companies that are involved with it. And, the question is, when will this bull phase, this big investment phase stop? And when will we see results from these investments? So it's a mania that's going on right now. And, as any mania, it can get overdone. And we've already seen this in some of the high-flying stocks. I mean, mention like Microsoft as an example. The stock is well off its highs. The Magnificent Seven names, for the most part, are down. The only exception, big exception, has been Google. But most of them are down. Netflix has been down. Amazon has been down. You can just run down the names of the top seven big name stocks. So, so these manias do tend to come to an end or go into corrective phases. So you have to monitor that, too. So the market as a whole now has been rotating a little bit, away from those big name stocks, though they're still concentrating on uranium, so to speak. But the Mag 7 stocks have sort of pulled off, and people are looking at other companies like Procter & Gamble, which is up today, for example, and the banking stocks are up a little bit, though they pulled back in the last couple of days. But looking for, Home Depot type names, just more traditional type investment names, because the bigger names got overdone and money needed to go somewhere. And some of the small cap stocks, like the Russell 2000, represents the small cap indices. That's been moving better than the big name stocks that are in the NASDAQ 100, because they were undervalued and the sentiment turned toward them, which was against them for the longest time. So it's been a market rotation. So I'm going back really to what the market's been all about here. You got to be in what's moving and try to stay on top of it. And that's sort of the summary of where we're at right now in the state of the market. If you're in the Russell 2000, you're doing better than if you're in the NASDAQ, for example. It's just one of those cycle periods that we're in.
Will the U.S. itself turn into green land and federally legalize marijuana?
I think it's coming. It's just a matter of time. Donald Trump is behind it. You know, he had an executive order to reschedule it, as you know. Hasn't happened yet. He ordered the DEA to move in that direction. And you have Robert Kennedy Jr. standing there when they had the signing, you know, and he's looking at it from a health perspective with the benefits from cannabis health point of view, and the elderly, your citizens love CBD and cannabis. I can attest to that personally, the people that I know that use it. And it's the whole thing is insane. The fact that it's fully legalized in Canada, as you know, and it wasn't fully legalized down here, and just some states have done it. It's just idiocy. You got to uniform the laws, and it's like saying 20 U.S. states are pro and the rest are against, and therefore we're going to keep it federally illegal forever. That's ridiculous. So I think it has to eventually happen. And there's some values in some of the shares, which we keep on our list. And I think I'm a big proponent of the legalization. It's like prohibition back in the 1920s, you know, making liquor illegal to everybody because we decided it wasn't good for them, or there were no health benefits to drinking liquor. Well, you know, that's not our decision to make. People are going to drink liquor or smoke cigarettes or take marijuana, no matter what the law says. But if, you know, making something, a substance, illegal because you feel it's bad for you is not the proper way to manage a country or manage laws. So I think it could eventually come to pass, and obviously it's taken a few years, but it will happen. So bottom line is a lot of the small companies in the business are making money selling their products. So there is a demand for the product.
Anything on the geocosmic front we should be watching?
Well, you know, I'm always watching the lunar cycles. We just had one 2-3 days ago. And if you recall, we had this Greenland story. It occurred, you know, almost precisely on a lunar cycle. It sounds sort of crazy when, you know, you bring this stuff up and people think, oh, what's he looking at, when you're not looking at it. But, you know, if you pay some attention to the cycles out there, you know, for example, we just had a new moon on January 18th. Well, you know, that was just when we had this big sell-off in the market. You know, so we have a full moon coming up February 1st. I watch stuff like that to see if there's any market volatility around those times. We've got the vernal equinox coming up in third week of March. We have Groundhog Day, February 2nd. And since there's often some volatility within a few days either side of the February 2nd time frame, so I always keep an eye on fun stuff like that. And apparently, most recent geomagnetic storm passed, but apparently another one is headed our way. So it looks like, according to the research that I'm reading here, you know, coming up the next couple, 3 days, you might see another geomagnetic storm hit the Earth. And that's sort of the fun stuff that I just sort of watch and play with, too, because it's not only fun to watch, but sometimes you see some overlap to world events or to weather and or to the markets. Anyway, that's sort of where we're at there.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Always fun. Thank you, Jim.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on X at House Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.